This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, make it so, number one.
What?
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
Silencio, Bruno.
And my axe.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Geeks out on Joy 94.9.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
So I'm going to let, because you're our trekkie of the off of the geeks parade, I'm going to let you kick this one off, please.
I think you're you may actually be overtaking me in the modern era trek.
True. Yeah. Oh, Star Wars is a bit OTT at the moment.
Like the modern era of Star Trek, like you're actually all over it. So yeah,
I am loving Discovery.
Yeah. So while building a new Federation free from the burn and then with a new source of dilithium, another threat comes to the galaxy in the form of a spatial anomaly, can't say words, that has the power to rip not just worlds apart but the fragile alliances that are just taking hold. So yes,
let's give a listen to the trailer.
Life is just a blink. It is one heartbeat in the entire lifespan of the universe.
Captain, are you with us?
Today we seek to understand a threat.
Sorry about that. Button slipped and everything. But that is, we will try to find it later.
Yeah, you can go find it yourself, I'm sure. It's out there.
But you should be watching it because this is just, I think, we were just talking just then about, which is why it slipped, about how great this season is just for where Star Trek has come along. Clayton, I love your first line quote, so I'll let you.
Well, thank you. But yeah, the series continues to feel like a big, warm, queer hug.
Yeah.
And not just the queer characters, like all the characters, really, but like that, those queer characters are definitely like warming my little homosexual heart.
Oh, definitely. Those little homosexual cockles in my neither regions are very warm.
Yes. And of course, queer and non-binary as well. trans and non-binary as well.
Yes. Mm. All over every character that's there, definitely.
But it's not a type of show that is kind of like all about being gay, lesbian, being transsexual or transgender, and it's very much about the humanity behind it and also just how that is just part of being human. So
I think this is the one big thing we were talking about earlier today is the humanity. I really noticed we're talking through humanity and I was going, you know, Doctor Who's Monster of the Week, you know, a lot of other similar series are that whole, there's a theme that goes for that week and it's usually something to do with battling evil or battling the bad guys, and then there's an underlying film. But something I noticed today when I was writing up these notes is there's not too many evildoers like historically there are in other Star Treks or anything else. There's no Klingons, there's no, you know,
Cardassians, Romulans, many, many others. The Borg.
Exactly. Which
I'd so like to see the Borg.
But this season especially, like we had the Borg two seasons, first season, second season. No, not the Borg.
No, that was in Picard.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Even
yeah. Yep.
This is why I overlay them all. But in this season, we've got this one underlying theme of the anomaly. And then we've just got people trying to be nice to each other and trying to find ways that don't end up in fights and war. And, you know, like that first episode we're speaking about, you know, these beautiful moth men and creatures, like that were just amazing, who started fighting. And, you know, Michael's like, no, we don't want to fight. And
yeah,
she found a way around it.
And the fighting in that episode also comes from their trauma, not from the feel that, like, they're evil or anything. They just have experienced so much trauma at the hands of the burn and the dilithium shortages, and that they kind of went, we can't trust you, and thus we just want you off our planet.
Mm.
So,
and that is such a, you know, that trust, I think, day in, day out in the world we live in at the moment, you know, it's such a key thing with having it. And I think it's really nice. Again, you know, I think Star Trek in general reflects the day and age that we're trying to live in. And I think they've done it fantastically, that humanity and the human power.
And I guess, like, you could look at the anomaly as being this great threat we're all facing, and we have those great threats now, like global warming and things like that, and showing that people can come together to solve the problem is definitely really important. So,
And the fact that it's not caused by one person, there's not a finger pointing at a country or a, you know, a specific angle. It's all, and all of us can come together and do this.
Exactly, and there needs to be more of that.
Mm.
I really was worried at the beginning of it, though, that this sort of threat, the anomaly, it was going to be just another version of the Burn. And it has some similarities, but it actually has differentiated enough from that story that I'm okay now.
Yeah.
First couple of episodes, I was like, well, this just feels like the Burn.
So. Yeah, but I think even they were saying it, oh, we've got the Burn again, and, mm-hmm. you know, what has Federation done for us? They did nothing for the Burn. And I think Michael really handled that quite well as well.
Yeah. And despite the type, that she's the type of girl that starts a war or two, she's actually doing a great job of bringing everybody together. So
that is true. She's gone from, war maker to peacemaker.
Exactly. So it's such a different time. But I really am loving Michael as captain. And what I feel is that we've actually built this story around her becoming captain. Usually we just get, here's the captain of the ship.
Mm.
And we had that in the first season with Lorca and stuff. But in this case, we've seen Michael's journey to that chair. And that's been a really important thing of the way we relate to the character. And it's sort of a different way to we have to other captains.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, we didn't just turn up on Star Trek Discovery and she was there. She mm-hmm. wasn't a captain to start with. And she wasn't like, we grew with her. And, you know, and the other characters we've grown with, and they've got promotions and things like that, which has been just amazing.
Exactly, like Tilly and Adira, and, you know, they have...
And,
Saru?
Saru!
Uh-huh, you've forgotten his name twice.
I will not forget you, Saru, I promise.
And Saru, we've seen his journey to the captain's chair as well, and then out of it again and kind of back. It's complicated.
Yes.
The only time we've kind of seen that before is Sisko. So Sisko, when he starts in Deep Space Nine, is not a captain. He is a commander, and he takes the command of this station. He becomes a captain in about season three or four. I'm not sure. Anywhere around there. And we actually get to find out part of his journey to that captain's chair in that he lost his wife to the Borg. And as when Picard was Locutus, so there's a bit of complex in the first episode around that. So.
Wow, that's, we'll have to go back and do some watching of that, definitely.
Another very cool thing, sorry.
No, go, mm-hmm. go.
Was seeing David Cronenberg again, who his character I just love. He's just so creepy and...
So creepy. Sorry, he's too creepy for me.
He's not for me, although I'm a fan of David Cronenberg in general. So you watched all of Flesh and Blood, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, but he's still creepy.
Yeah, he's more creepy than that.
So much more creepier in that.
But his character just is so forthright and almost has that absolute candor that the Romulan people, that I forgot the name of that group, have. And that's pretty, you know, I like that. And
I like how he wins Booker over.
Yeah, definitely.
That was really interesting, especially for an empath to be won over by his sort of personality. Like, I was like, really? You're going to run off together? Sorry, spoiler. But
that's not the same person we're talking about.
Oh, aren't we?
No. We're talking about different characters at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
David Cronenberg is the person from Flesh and Blood.
Yeah.
With the grey hair.
Oh, okay, yes, sorry.
Glasses.
Yes.
Not the guy from Risa.
He's the hologram, or he's not the hologram. Yeah, he's seen as a lot of holograms.
He's still creepy.
Yeah, still creepy. Still, yes.
Okay.
Like, same page.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered why I didn't remember him from Flesh and Blood, but now it makes sense. Now I'm completely on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay.
Still very creepy.
Yes, you just lost some geek points.
Sorry,
I just like to let
such
you know.
Geek points.
Yeah, just got a notch or two. His character, and he was great playing off Giorgio, and then now his conversation with I've forgotten his name. Oh, my goodness. Now you make me forget stuff. No.
No. Yeah, I probably have. I do that. I send this error out into the...
Colbert. A doctor.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Dr. Colbert. His that conversation.
Especially when they
great.
Were doing the AI debate.
Yeah.
That was my favorite episode.
Yeah. So, and, you know, working out whether Zora, this AI intelligence, is actually, you know, a life form, essentially.
And, I forgot to write down. She had such an amazing explanation of she's not AI. She is an organism. Yeah. And that was just... crazy. I was like, what?
She's something new.
So. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who they're going to put in as the, like, because they're going to, like, they've already talked about how they're going to create a formation for her.
Ah, give her a physical form.
Physical form. Mm. Yeah.
And that, you know, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you haven't watched, Zora is the computer of the Discovery, which is a combination of the 903 or 900 year future of the technology and the sphere data from the previous season, so, and is merged into an entity. So
yes, they if it had been AI, then Federation could have taken it out because the, you know, ships aren't meant to have AI on them because they still don't trust them after many, many years of, mm-hmm. you know, sorry, I've just been watching podcasts on AI and why we should trust them and shouldn't we and things like that. And I'm like, people, it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to take over. It's fine.
Yeah, no, but this one's an organism. Like, it's actually, they've, you know, decided that it's not AI. It's actually a living, breathing organism that dreams even. Have you watched all the seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So what's happened is they've got to see episode 7 and they've gone for a mid-season hiatus.
Yes,
so
true.
It's going to be a little while before we find out anymore, which is why we've actually talked about it today. We probably should have mentioned that at the top of the conversation.
Yes, we should. We should. Yeah. We're so excited about it because it is such a – and yeah, as we said, you know, there's so many queer content and everyone – you know, and there's so much content in general across it happening in the smaller stories and in the bigger stories across all the characters.
And I do just need to point out that you have actually spelt Klingons C-L-I-N-G-O-N-S.
I had to spell it phonetically for my brain so I would say it properly when I was talking about it. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm sorry.
It's a Klingon. They're clinging on for dear life. Because if I spell it the correct way, I don't pronounce it right.
Yep, that has made my day. sorry to shame you on air, but it was worth it.
It's all right.
Look, if you want to watch it, it is currently now on the new home of Star Trek in the known universe, also Australia, Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So, which is, you know, another streaming service because there are 600 now.
I know, so many. But yeah. I'm enjoying bits and pieces on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I mostly have it for Star Trek at the moment. So.
Dexter for me as well.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.